Okay. Tikul shofar b'tziyayin. The pasuk says, "Blow the shofar in tziyayin, v'hariu b'har kodshi, and cry out on my holy mountain. Yirgazu, tremble, kol yoshvei haaretz. All of the inhabitants of Israel shall tremble. Kivoyem Hashem. The day of Hashem is coming. Kivoyem Hashem. Ki karov. The day is near. In other words, the day of reckoning is near. There's something terrible going to happen in Yerushalayim on Hashem's holy mountain. I remember I told you yesterday, walking that approach, is that this is an allusion to the First Crusade. Pasuk Beis, Yom Choshech, they have darkness, Va'afela, darkness, another expression of darkness, Yom Onon Va'rafel, another two expressions, a total of four expressions of darkness. L'chayra, it appears, I guess these four expressions correspond to the four locusts. The Yelek, the Chastil, the Arbe, and what was the fourth one? The four different varieties of locusts. There are four different degrees of darkness. Kishachar. What? Gezem. Gezem. Kishachar. 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 Porus. Porus. It's like, the dawn. It will. Now here there's a change. We started with four expressions of darkness. And then it changes to an expression of light. Of light. Porus. Spread. Al Heharim. We have to see in the Farshim what exactly that means over here. It'll be like light, like the Or HaShachar. The Arber will be like the light of the dawn on the mountains. What does that mean? Didn't we just say one moment ago that the Arber is compared to Choshech, Afela, Onan, Varofel? And now the Pasuk contradicts itself and says that it's going to be like Shachar. Like bright, like the morning, the light of the morning, Al Harim. That's a contradiction. That's a contradiction. So something over here is, there's something very deep taking place over here. There's Nirbuvia of Or V'Choshech. Right? Hashem was Mavdil. Isn't that one of the things that we describe in the four Havdalas? Hamavdil ben Choshech lo'or. Ben Or, ben Yisrael lo'amim. Ben Yom Hashvil l'sheish esimei hamaseh. And here in this pasuk, there seems to be a lack of differentiation between the light and the darkness. Am Ravi Otsum, a nation. If you would not know that we're dealing with locusts, you would think we're dealing with some type of world war, the apocalypse is coming upon us. Am a nation, Ravi Otsum, referring to the locusts, massive Otsum and mighty. Komohu lo nihya min ha'olam. There was never something like this before. The Acharav Lo Yosef, but here it says something that it does not say in Sefer, it does not say in Chumash Shemos, in regard to the Arbe, it will happen again. Ad Shenei Dor Vodor, until the years of generation and generation. Now, what does that mean? This is a very vague expression, and obviously it's subject to much interpretation. Let's see the Tumim Freshman inside Yerem Chol.
No, I mean, you're going to get to some of it, but it just occurred to me that, you know, we have the expression that's really from our literature. We say it's always darkest before the dawn. The Tehillim, Ayelas HaShachar, makes an allusion to that, to that utter darkness before the break of dawn. So that's one possible interpretation.
So you're saying, but then what you're suggesting is you're saying that it's the four types of darkness that comes before the dawn. So you're saying that the shachar does not mean that there was actually light, but rather shachar is just a perish of what type of darkness. It wasn't the ordinary darkness. It was the ultimate darkness, like that which comes before the dawn. So you're adding a word into the pasuk. You're saying like what comes, the shachar, again, the shachar is the darkness. That's lifnei, the shachar, that comes before the dawn. Okay, I understand. That's a very interesting.
Right after the arofel, right?
Yeah.
Which is the thick darkness.
Okay.
Right, then comes the dawn.
Yeah, but so the question is this event that Yoel is describing, does he actually see light or does he only see darkness?
Predicted.
Does he only see darkness? Does he see light? Or does he see, like what you're trying to suggest is, we're only seeing darkness. And there are different levels of darkness.
Yeah,
and I'm describing the level of darkness that comes right before the dawn, but I don't see light. Don't make any mistake. I don't see any light. I see pure darkness, the ultimate darkness, the darkness that comes before the light. Now, that's a very beautiful parish, but you have to acknowledge that you're adding quite a number of words.
It's not really what I'm saying.
What? It's an idea.
What I'm saying
okay.
is that after, if we're talking about the ultimate future,
okay.
then after this terrible darkness, this,
okay.
this final
then there will be light.
Darkness, then
there will be light.
There will
there's
be
a
light.
Silver lining. In this darkness, there's a silver lining.
Silver lining. That's why I said at the very outset. It's always darkest before the dawn. That's an actual phenomenon.
So is Yoel saying that even though it's very, very dark, I still see glimmers of light?
The Gula is referred to as light.
Light, okay.
Or the break of dawn, however you want to say it.
From this, something good will come. And what will come? The Gula, the Shachar. Obviously, this is very difficult. We have to see the Mefarshim.
Yeah, obviously, the Mefarshim say something different.
No, not necessarily. I mean, this is what we have to discuss. We have to try to get a better picture. The most important thing is to understand what are we talking about.
What's the difference between this
Choshech
and
Matas Choshech? It only says Choshech, V'yomesh Choshech. It doesn't say there.
Well, over there it says
Choshech Afeilo.
It says Afeilo also. Choshech Afeilo, and the mountain gets into it. It was 3 days of Choshech, 3 days of Afeilo. It was very thick fog.
Right. The
That's why the ash wouldn't burn, because the air was so wet that a fire couldn't, you wouldn't even have a fire that would go out. That's the mountain sector.
Okay.
Where the palpable dark.
Right, yeah, but you could feel sometimes when it's so foggy, you could feel it's so moist in the air, but he said that's the point.
But
and that's common to Egypt, by the way.
So was this the same type here?
Look, what it says in Shemot says, Hashem predicts only Choshech. Vayoyimer Hashem Moshe Niteyotcha Allah Hashemayim Vihi Choshech Aleretz Mitzrayim V'yomei Choshech. Hashem says there will be one thing only. It will be choshech, and the choshech will be of the nature, of the degree that will be yomesh. You can actually feel it. But that's not what happened. What happened was, vayed Moshe es yodel al hashamayim, vayihi choshech afeilo. It says there was choshech and afeilo, pol eretz mitzrayim, shloishes yomim, loy ra'u ish es achiv, loy kamu ish mitachtav, shloishes yomim, l'chol b'nei shol choyor b'moshe v'esam. It was darkness for the Egyptians, it was light. It does not say there was Yomesh. It does not say that. All it says is, what happened was, there's a difficulty. Hashem says this is what there should be, and that's not what happened. Hashem says there should be Choshech, it did not make any mention of Afeilo, and Hashem then goes on to repeat himself in the Choshech of the nature where it's Yomesh. What actually happened? There was Choshech and Afeilo.
Maybe Afeilo comes to explain the word Biyomesh.
Maybe, that's a possibility.
According to the way the Malbim seems to interpret it.
There are many interpretations.
If he's consistent over,
over
here,
then it means Yomesh. Okay, there are different parishioners.
That's what he says over there.
Okay. Choshech shel ofel, shloi ro ish es achiv. The ode, shloish es yom achirim, ash es choshech muchbol al zed shloi kamu ish mitachtav. Rashi learns there was another level, the second day, where the darkness was so thick, they could not stand up. But it doesn't explicitly say the word
Yomesh. Yeah.
And it says a new word, Afeilo.
Yeah.
It's subject to interpretation. Okay, that's on our topic today.
What I was trying to say is this comparable? That's my question.
Possibly, because Arbe, Borod, Choshech. Where's the Borod, though? If we're going in the order of the Makos, it does not seem to say here. Maybe you have to go back in the previous paragraph and try to find an allusion to the Borod.
But the Malbim is saying over here also. He's very consistent. Ofel Garua Mechomeshet.
It's even more. It's deeper. It doesn't mean.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean deeper.
That's what he says in the Chumash. That's what he
okay.
says.
All right. Okay.
You could feel it. That's the way he explains.
He tied Zafel to mean it's the Yomesh.
It was so thick you couldn't move practically. He's saying you could low row ish so
but Rashi also says
you
that.
You couldn't move, right. But that's the way he explains it.
But is that
it's
even
such
though
a wetness.
Even if that's yeah. true, but is that still the translation
right.
of is that really the fulfillment of the Yomesh? Or
I don't know.
Right, that's the mystery. That's the problem. In any event, over here, there's going to be time choshech afeilo. We have two new words which we do not have in Egypt. We do not have onon. We do not have arofel. And here it does say shachar. Shachar is light. in Mitzrayim it says Ulchol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moy shvoisam. There was or. What does Rashi over here say about the or b'moy shvoisam in Chumash? It says shloishes yamim. Okay, v'lo mehevi aleim chayshech shahayu b'Yisrael v'ois adar v'shoyim v'lo hayu roitzim latzeis v'meis b'shloish me'afelik v'shloyir Mitzrayim b'mapolasam. Okay, Rashi doesn't really explain the significance of the word of Haya Or, but it does seem to say there was an erbuvia. There was a mixture of light and darkness. This has broken the rules of creation. In creation, we know that we say the Havdalah every single day. Vayavdel Elokim bein Ha'or uvein Hachoshech. There is a separation between the two. These two are exclusive. They cannot coexist. And Egypt, they coexisted. There was darkness for the Egyptians and there was light for the Jews. How could it possibly be? The Jews were walking into their homes. So that means in the same location where an Egyptian was stuck in the darkness to the degree where he was not able to sit up, in that same exact location, a Jew was walking around with bright light and seeing every single thing that this Egyptian had. Obviously, in the same location, it was near Buvia of Or and Choshech. That is a violation of the rules of creation, where the Torah says that there's a Hevdil, a Yavdil, a Lekim in Or, a Vein HaChoshech. Here, we are presented with something very similar. It says here there was darkness, and then it says, Keshachar Parus Al Horim. Am Ravi Otsum, a mighty nation. It doesn't, we don't really know. It's not from the simple reading of the pasuk and from Rashi, we're missing an enormous amount of information. All we know is Rashi says there were 6 days of darkness, there were 3 days of complete darkness, and the next 3 days, the darkness was so thick where they could not stand. If someone was standing, he could not sit down. If he was sitting, he could not rise. What does that mean? We have no clue. It doesn't make in the laws of science, physics, nature, there is no explanation whatsoever for this phenomenon. Okay, I mean, we've heard explanations for Kriyas Yamsuf. We've heard it's a tsunami. We've heard all these things about frogs, arbe. A lot of people try to downplay the miracles. I don't know if that's right or that's wrong, but they try to show that all of the makos can be explained to some degree in terms of an extreme coincidences of teva. Okay, this is an approach which I think they don't. I think the Bnei Torah do not favor very much. But Choshech, I've never heard anyone give a good explanation for Choshech. I never came across. I've come across things where people write about Kriyas Yamsuf. It can be explained as a tsunami. Okay, and there's also it can be explained there was a land bridge. You know what a land bridge is? Meir showed me this fascinating, where these two fellows they think they found where Kriyas Yamsuf is, and Kriyas Yamsuf, that area, it's just fascinating. There's a land bridge. And if there's just a little bit of a wind, not such a great wind, you could mamish in the middle of the yam. You could mamish cross on the yam. It's just remarkable.
They get into a whole explanation how it could be through
Derech HaTeva. Right. This is an approach. It's not something obviously Bnei Torah are not comfortable with this approach. Okay, they're not comfortable with this approach, but
no.
You can't ignore it. You just can't ignore it off the bat. What?
Yeah, we do ignore it.
We do ignore it because
where it comes from.
Okay, but right, there is, but when it comes to Choshech, I'm sorry, I've never even heard anyone even attempt to explain what it means, a phenomenon in this world where the Choshech is so thick. If this,
like 10-12 years ago, when Iceland, the volcano
blew up. Yeah.
And the planes throughout the
they were damaged.
Because they would get all the dirt.
The particles destroyed the engines.
So if that was a little thicker.
It's toxic. It's toxic. You can die from that type of. The chemicals that were emitted by the volcano So first of all, the engines, these are millions of dollars, these engines, these Rolls Royce engines, and they were millions of dollars, they were destroyed. They're super, I saw a documentary on this, one of these air crash disaster documentaries, where they're today, they're super, super careful not to go near any area where there's something like this for just one reason, not because they care about the people, it's money. Because if the plane flies through this area, it destroys the engine. And the engine just goes right in the garbage. And that's half the cost of the plane is the engine. So you're saying an idea. I hear what you're saying. You're saying something over here that maybe you can explain this scientifically, whatever it is. But this is what over here we have over here, this combination of Ongar, Rafael, Keshach, and to understand what this means, it's in their Buvia, there's a mixture between Or and Choshach. That's something which you can't explain. You can't explain what it means over here that at the same time, when it's dark for the Egyptians, the Jews, Klal Yisrael, they're able to see in clear light. And they're not affected by this Choshech. Okay, in any event, let's go further. Am Ravi Otsum, it's a mighty nation. Kamolo Nia Minoila, we said we explained, okay, let's go see over here the two Pesukim, the Mitzudos and the Parshim, plus the Mitzudos, plus like Aleph. The Mitzudos, David says, Tiku Shoifel, Hazir, Esam, Al Hatishuvah. Yoel is telling the Olam, you have to do teshuvah. The locusts are coming. Now, it doesn't say that, by the way, it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. We discussed this yesterday. I told you yesterday, if we want to say, we learned yesterday, that we want to suggest that these two parakim allude to the First Crusade. This is a nevuah for the First Crusade. And it's one thing that's very clear about the First Crusade. It was not viewed by anyone in any of the Piyutim or any of the Jewish chronicles as a punishment for any chait. It was viewed as a nisoyon. Just like Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, no one's going to say that Avraham Avinu, when he was told to bring Yitzchak to the Akedah, he was being punished for an Avera. And I know there is a Medrash that says it was a punishment because he made a negotiation agreement with Avimelech. Avimelech, he made an agreement. Okay, let's put that on the side. That's something which is very extreme. Okay, put that on the side. Let's learn al derech pshat. Avraham Avinu, what did he do to deserve this? What did he do to deserve that his Ben Yochid, besides Yishmael, from Sarah, should have to die? What possible sin could he have done that he should deserve to suffer such a tragedy? And Yitzchak, certainly, what did Yitzchak do? Maybe you're going to tell me, Avraham, you'll quote me the Medrash. The Medrash says, Avraham Avinu, he made a mistake. He made an agreement with Avimelech, and Hashem was not happy. Li ulenini ulenechti, he made an agreement that he's not going to take back the land until these generations pass. How could you, Avraham, do that? Hashem told you, I'm giving you the land. So there's a Medrash that says it was a mistake. Okay, I wouldn't go there either, okay? But let's say even if you want to go there, that's very good for Avraham Avinu. But what about, how are you going to explain Yitzchak? What did he do? What did he do to deserve this? I've never heard a Medrash telling us that Yitzchak did an Avera for which he deserved to die prematurely. So what's this all about then?
I don't know.
What?
If he did wrong, Ayla Ratzav,
Ayla. What does that mean?
No,
so what does it mean? So obviously the answer is there's no one that's going to tell you it's an Avera. So the answer is, it's called, we don't know what this means, we have no clue, and the term we use to describe this in biblical terms, not really for us, is we call it a Nisayon. It was a Nisayon. Hashem Ba'alokim Nisah Es Avraham. It doesn't say Elokim Onash. Hashem punished Avraham.
Right.
Elokim Nisa. The first crusade, unlike any other, was they didn't deserve this. There's no one that's going to tell you they deserve what happened to them. It was a Nisayon. It was a very, very great Nisayon. And not everyone was imid in this Nisayon. There were many people who converted, who did convert. We try to, according to the books that I've read, we have a tendency to sweep that under the rug.
I thought no one was given the choice.
What? Some were, some that's very complex. Some were
given the
many, many. In fact, most were, it seems. Some were, some were not, but many were given the choice, and many did, and we seem to have a tendency to just brush that under the carpet and not even make mention of it. According to what I've read from this Chazan, this person who seems to is a religious Jew, who seems to really has done his homework. I think he's one of the only people who really wrote, from a Shomer Torah Mitzvah's perspective, who really went through the research, seems to say that it's very disturbing that a very large number of people did convert, at least temporarily. And then the big shiloh was afterwards, when they wanted to come back, were they accepted back? And then many others died with the most awesome Kiddush Hashem. We discussed this yesterday. But
doesn't Rashi say that Yishmael said, here I was moist nefesh, with Bris Mila, so Avraham Avinu said, I'll give my whole body to Hashem.
He offered it. He offered his own. Say, saying,
yeah, all right. Saying,
but still in all,
there's nothing,
everything is said and done, it's still so. So it was called a Nisayon. If it is correct, this is just a theory, that these two Perakim do allude to the First Crusade, it is very telling, it's very interesting, is that there is no mention here in these two Perakim of Chet. In most of all of the prophecies that we've learned together in all the various Svarim, Chet is a central theme. The Ribbono Shel Olam over and over through the Nevi'im tells them exactly what they did wrong. The Chatohim are spelled out.
The Chatohim were prevalent. You don't have to laugh.
It was prevalent by all of the Nevi'im, by Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu, and everything, and yet they still spell it out. And here, there is no mention in these two Perakim of Chet. The Mitzudos, and who are learning al derech pshat, they're obviously very disturbed. And you see that in their words as they try to somehow fit in chait. What's over here? Tikkun Shabbat Tzion, V'ri V'har Kodshi. Why are you blowing the shofar? So he says, you're blowing the shofar to do teshuva. For what? What did I do wrong? What teshuva? So if you're learning Aderech Pshat.
Yeah, so you could say, what didn't you do wrong?
So if you can learn Aderech Pshat, that we're dealing over here with the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, and they're worshipping the Golem, the Egle Zohar, and there's about the Zara, and who knows what's going on. Okay, so I'll derech pshat. But if you're taking these psukim out of context, and you're taking these psukim and referring to a nevuah in addition, just being used as a mashal, what's happening Lamaisa, but you're also using extrapolating, and you're using this as a mashal for an event that's going to happen in 2,000 years from now, that's takawai, it doesn't say chait. And the reason why you're blowing the shofar, and the reason why you're going to the Beis HaKnesses to daven is, it's basically a hachana. It's basically be mechazek yourself, prepare yourself to be mekadesh your name, and mekadesh the Shem Shemayim. Similar to the very famous story of Elchanan Wasserman, that before he and his chaverim and his talmidim were killed al kiddush Hashem, he gathered them together and spoke divrei his oirus, and the divrei chizuk, and they davened. What they were davening to do, teshuva. I mean, yeah, of course, davening to do teshuva, but the primary reason why they're coming together, why he gathered there, is be mechazek yourself. You're now about to die, al kiddush Hashem. You are a korban for Klal Yisrael, and through your death, the name of Hashem will be sanctified, and you cannot even fathom what in the spiritual world you will do for the survivors. So that's what's happening over here. The focus is not chet. It's always chet. We're not fooling ourselves. But just because there's chet doesn't mean you deserve to die in such a gruesome, grotesque way and to be wiped out. It doesn't work like that. You know it doesn't work like that. Yet there is such a thing called a nesoyon. So then the focus of tiku shofar b'tzion v'ri b'har kodshi, it means get ready. Get ready. Be metaher your neshamos. Prepare for what's coming. But the Mitzudos wants to say, al derech pshat, he writes over here in Pasuk Aleph, Tikul lahaz here esa'am al ha-teshuvah, du teshuvah, v'har kodshi, zetzion, v'chofol ha-davah b'milashonas, yirguzu, mechedras kol shofar yechel, you should be terrified. Yoyim Hashem, yoyim ha-pur'onios, the day of punishment me-Hashem, kivah ki'ilu kvar bo, it's as if it has already come, kashachar k'me'or ha-shachar ha-porus, al harim keniya ha'arbe mi'chaseh es harim, the locust will cover the mountains, Am Rav Yotzum, a mighty nation, Al Ha'arbe, Yoimar B'Yach Shela, this is Am, a nation. What nation? Locust is called a nation. So we discussed this. We discussed the Pshat, we learned the Radak last week, that it refers to a collection of living organisms. It's literally referred to as an Am. It's in the borrowed expression. Next, Mitzudos, the Pasuk, page 226. Lo nihiyo. Now this goes back to the question we started with last week, is that the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo that there was Arba in Egypt, and the Arba in Egypt was something which was unprecedented. The reason why why over here does it say that it never was, because this was from four minim. It's a different type of Arba. Lo Yosef, Lo Yos Kamahu, At Shnei Dor Vodar. So here we have the magic words of the Mitzudot stuff that whenever it says over here, he is acknowledging that he's not translating the words literally. It means ad oilam, this will never ever happen again in the history of the world. If you do learn that this was a reference to the first crusade where they were Mekadesh themselves, Mekadesh by giving up their lives. And then when it says Adar Vadar, it's very easy to relate until the time of the Holocaust. The next time when there was massive death, Al Kiddush Shem Hashem, Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim, you hear of all the stories how they went into the gas chambers singing the words of Ani Mamin. We know of the story in one of the concentration camps. They put the Paroiches, a Paroiches that said, Ze Hashar La Hashem Tzadikim Yovohu Vo. I don't remember which camp this was in. And this for some people, they lost their minds when they saw this. When they saw that when they were taken into the gas chambers, the Nazis had the chutzpah, the nerve, the cruelty. There aren't even words to describe what they have done, is to take a paroiches from a Beis HaKnesses and to put it on the entrance to the gas chambers to say, Ze Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yevovo, and to mock the Jews, where is your God now? And how did people react? Some people, they Rachmanu Litzlan, they lost their minds, and some people saw in this, that's right, that is correct. We're dying Al Shem Hashem, it could not be more perfect. It could not be more perfect. So here, those people who were able, had the koyach to do that, this is what it means in the Pasuk, at Shnei Dor Vodar, at until this event that happened in 1096 will not be repeated in such a scale, with such mysterious nefesh, with such an oifin of emunah, until 1939, the 6 years of Holocaust from 1939 until 19, I mean, the concentration camps were a little bit later, I believe. The concentration camps were in
42, 43.
The gas chambers were in 41. 41, okay. The gas chambers were a little bit later. They first killed with bullets.
There were many other episodes of
Kids. Yeah, right.
Way before, hundreds of years.
But not on the scale.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. You're right. Not on this scale. One thing that comes out from the first crusade, like we mentioned yesterday, is they there was a chiddush where they died, they gave up their lives as a tzibur. What does that mean as a tzibur? They killed each other. There is no precedent for this in the entire Torah. We have Avram Avinu being told by Hashem to slaughter Yitzchak. Look, Hashem spoke to him. Hashem told him to do it. Okay, that maybe is the only makar. But Hananya, Mishael, Azaria, Daniel, even Avram Avinu himself was thrown to the Kivshanu Eish. They were passive. They were thrown in. They didn't take their own lives. Their lives were taken from them. Al Kiddush Hashem. In the time of the Crusades, people killed themselves. They publicly killed themselves in front of the Crusaders to show their emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then they did something that's even more bizarre, as we mentioned, is where they killed each other. Parents killed.
Kalisha.
Parents took the lives of their children. Okay, communities appointed people to be the Shoichtim. to be the Kohanim. You have a shul, there's such a story, it's in the Chronicles, where
no, Abba Akiva. He had that, though, Harugi Beitar.
Harugi Beitar, we don't find
no,
this.
No,
Masada?
Big,
Masada is not the same level.
It's very...
What?
Is it ongoing?
Yes.
In today's times, I'll mention what it says. But we don't know what happened. The Holocaust is still being debated on so many of the specifics, but so how can we really talk about the Crusades? I don't know, but... There's a big thing going on in Israel here.
No.
The Abishan yesterday
came out and
publicly criticized Netanyahu, who, along with the Polish Prime Minister, came out with this this long communique, which basically vindicated the Polish
Poland. Terrible.
Said the Polish government in exile was trying to save Jews, and the Abishan came out yesterday
criticizing Netanyahu,
saying that's not true, this is inaccurate, there's no, we've had 45 years of, you know,
it's horrible, yes, I'm aware, it's horrible.
Research, and it does not show that the polls don't belong, especially even the resistance, were a negative force, you know, in terms of
right. They Israel tried so to make an agreement with Poland.
Sacrifice truth. Because of economic and reasons or stuff like that, you know, because...
Yes. Yeah, I am aware. It's a Chil Hashem, absolutely.
Going on very
That's right. That's a subject. The Holocaust denial.
I'm saying criticizing, no, but it's a whole thing.
Okay.
That one of the historians that came up with helping Netanyahu with the communique is a chief historian in Yad Vashem. But Yad Vashem is saying...
He does not represent us.
She
does not represent us.
She doesn't represent us, right? Exactly.
It's Sheker, and the reasons that he's trying to downplay what they've done is for economic reasons, which is Hakesef, the old Hakesef Yana Esakol. You're looking to go and sell all the Kedoshim. 3 million people died in Poland. Chutzpah to say, to make a law, it's a crime to say that Poland had anything to do. Yodeinu lo shavchu es hadam hazeh. And now for the state of Israel to say, okay, we accept it. As long as you give us some money, everything is fine and good. So Chil Hashem. Terrible. You're right. Okay, that's what's happening. Okay, let's go first. This is the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos is pretty straightforward. Now let's take a look at the... Let's now see Rashi, or the official Mitzudos, let's see over here, Lefana, we did the Rake. Let's go, we didn't finish the Mitzudos, let's go back to Pasuk. No, we did finish, okay. So I just wanted to say over here is Adar Vadar, Shnei Dar Vadar, refers to the Mitzudos says such a thing will never be repeated. The Mitzudos David acknowledges that his translation is not literal. The literal translation means that something again like this will happen. And the question is, what does that mean exactly? If it refers to locusts, there'll be more locusts in the future. If it refers to something much bigger, much grander, something more, this is just a metaphor for something much bigger, what exactly are we referring to? If we take the approach that this is a direct nevuah for the first crusade, then possibly the next thing that was on the scale of dying, being Makat, dying al Kiddush Hashem publicly, to is the Holocaust. Maybe you want to say it's the Inquisition. There's also something similar by the Inquisition. Maybe so. Maybe when it says At Shnei Dar V'Dar, it refers to different generations. Dar V'Dar. There are different generations in which
Dar.
Vadar. There are generations in which there are many generations.
But then you have also Tach-Vatach.
Yeah, that's also. And the Chanami, Tach-Vatach, I don't think we find to the same degree. They were killed. There was a slaughter. There were 250, there's a question how many people died in Tach-Vatach. The estimates can go from 50,000 to 250,000. And no one really knows for sure the numbers. Do we know what really happened? Like Dr. Fruchter said, we don't know what even happened. So maybe that's what it's referring to. Maybe it refers to everything. There was the Holocaust, there was Tach V'Tat, there was the Inquisition, there were pogroms throughout the history. And there were many situations where people died in the most noble way. They gave up their lives. So maybe in a Hanani.
What about terrorism in Eretz Yisrael?
Today also.
People died.
Okay, but
you ever see that list of all the
yes. But you don't. It's not. I don't think you can compare. I don't think you can compare. Rahman al-Islam. No one's downplaying the pain and the suffering and the tragedy of a victim of terror. Chas v'shalom to downplay. Yeah. But it's not like the Crusades. I mean, we were having the Crusades where parents are slaughtering their children and they're examining the knife to make sure there are no nicks in the knife, and they make a bracha. Asher ki d'shanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al ashchit al. It's just, it's incredible. You have to read the chronicles of what they did, and then they will makabel the dam, kabolos hadam. Facts. These are facts. There are three records, records by Jews recording exactly what happened. Three. There are three that are accepted to be authentic, which are used extensively by historians. And from the Goyim, we have the Christian chronicles, the Christian records, and we have the Muslim records. And they're even more elaborate. Now, obviously, the First Crusade, you don't have anything regard to what happened in Germany from the Muslims, because they weren't there. They were in Yerushalayim. But when it comes to what we're reading over here, this I explained yesterday, there are two parts to the First Crusade. There's the tragedy that happened in Germany, and then there is a tragedy what happened in Yerushalayim when they arrived in 1099. They arrived in 1099, and they conquered the Muslims. They took back the church where they believe their Yashka is buried, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And in the process, they found Jews. There were at least 500 Jews at that time living in Yerushalayim, and they had a Beis HaKnesses, and the Crusaders gathered them all together. They put them in this Beis HaKnesses, and they torched it. And they killed them. They in the Holocaust, they incinerated them. And who knows what else they did? There's a lot more information of what they did. So this here, Perek Aleph, refers to what's taking place in the Midbar. We never use the word Tzion, Har Kodshi is not mentioned once in Perek Aleph. Instead, we mention the Sodeh, and the Midbar, and the Oretz. It's referring to Chutz Li'aretz, Germany, the tragedy of Germany. And now we shift our attention, Tikkun Shofar V'Tzion, now the Crusaders arrive. They arrive in Germany, and we know there was 60,000, if not mistaken, there were 60,000 soldiers who came to Yerushalayim. That's the Arab, that's the locust. That's a locust. They came in swarms, and they obliterated everything in their path. Barbarians, and that's what here we're suggesting it refers to, and it says something like this will never happen again, and never will happen again at Shnois Dor V'Dor. It was a different scale, and Dor V'Dor in Echanami, it means throughout the ages there were events, Rachman al-Tzlan, where there was large scale death and large scale Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi leads to Pesukim starting with Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk be alif tikul shayfer lahashmiam sheyashuvu b'shuva b'terem tivay asam haraah hazais. They should do teshuva before this. Teshuva for what? Doesn't say for what. To do teshuva before this evil overcomes them. Yoim Hashem Masha Marnu Lamalo, we mentioned before, the locust. Okay, kashachar horus al harim ho arbe vehagozam nifrosim al harim will spread out over the mountains, kashachar hanifros b'chol ha'olam, like the dawn, the light of dawn spreads out over the entire world. It is a metaphor, al derech pshat, to refer to the enormity, the massive numbers of locusts that are going to come upon the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Next, kamol oniyah min ha'olam, lovo kol ha'iminim, halalu z'achar zeh, such a thing where all four together will never happen. Avol min arbe levadoi lohoya kamo, but one arbe by itself lohoya kamo oso shel mitzrayim. There was something different in the time of Egypt when there was only one variety of arbe, the arbe itself, and that came upon the entire land of Egypt. That was unique. To have one min destroy a country, that never happened from the time of Egypt, and never will happen again. But to have four partners in wiping out wiping out the land, this was unique to the time of Yoel. Now, let's see over here, Shnem says, it says there in Shemois, in Parashas Bo, the Acharav Lo Yeh came. Okay, let's now take a look at the Radak. Radak, Pasuk, Aleph, and Beis. Okay, there is no Pasuk, there is Pasuk Aleph, take a show on page 225. 225, you go down where the lines get wide. Tiku shofar v'hariu kafalinim b'mila shoynos kitzion hi hu har hakodesh. Tzion is the same thing as har hakodesh v'chein omar al tzion har kodshi. V'tam tiku v'hariu lo'oyer halavavos ala tshuva. Everyone so far said the same thing. Mitzudos, Rashi, and Radak. The blow of the shofar is to inspire people to do teshuva. Pasuk Beis, Yom Choshech, Hatzara Nimshalas L'Choshech, Kamo Sheha Simcha Nimshalas L'Oira. Simcha is Or, Tsar is Choshech, Oiperush Kimeroiv Ho'arbe, Chosh Ho'aretz, due to the enormity, the abundance, the numbers of Arbe, the land was dark, literally, Kamo Sheomar, Ba'arbe Mitzrayim Ba'tech Shach Ho'aretz. The land became dark. Kashachar, Kashachar, Porus Al-Horim, Kimo, just like Shachar Shu Porush Al-Horim, Kirega, Kisham Nira, Tchila Hashemesh, Vitzesu, Mneha Gavam, Ken Yove, Ha'arbe, Porus, Befosh Al-Horitz, Berega, happens very quickly. When it gets light very quickly. Likewise, when these people will arrive, when the Arbe arrives, they will overcome the earth very quickly, take over. Next words of the Radak, passing page 227, Kamo lo niya, ki osa shol mitzrayim lo hoya ela min echad. It was only one variety. V'hu ha'arbe, that was the min arbe. V'hoya rav oisei ha'min b'mitzrayim yoisei mimasho hoya ata b'yeretz Yisrael. That one min was more numerous than what is now in the time of Yoel here in Eretz Yisrael. L'ficha chomar v'acharav lo yiyakein. That's why in Parashas Bo it says that event will never repeat itself in world history. Kamohu lo niya. Here it says like this: the four minim together will never will be. Ki hayu arba minim v'shem mitzrayim lo hayu ela min echad. Lo yosef b'tzerei kamo lo yosef b'chirik v'hu echad. It's the same. Whether it's lo yosef or lo yosef, it's the same idea. Let's look at the Malbum. Malbum back to pasuk aleph on the previous. In the previous page, on page 224, on the right side, Tiku Arata Diber Al Ha'am Shahidia Bias Ma'arbe V'Al Hidei Hanavi Sheroz Gzer Zob B'Nevuah V'Ata Maschel Inyan Sheni Medaber Al Ha'es Shekvar His Orer Ha'arbe V'Hischel Lovu Al Aretz. He explained that there's a difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis Al Derech Pshat. In Perek Aleph, he's warning what will happen. In Perek Beis, he's describing it from the perspective of it happening now. It's happening now, and I'm describing to you what it looks like as it is happening. So the Malbim also acknowledges, al derech pshat, that there's a fundamental shift between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. Perek Aleph describes one perspective. Perek Beis describes a different perspective. The Malbim does not mention, for some reason, that there's another fundamental difference, that in Perek Aleph there is no mention of Yerushalayim, there is no mention of the Horim, there is no mention of the holiness, the Har Kodesh, the Yoyim Hashem, whereas in Perek Beis, it takes on a whole new holy tone. The First Crusade was a holy war. Okay, the biggest debate in the First Crusade is, what was the purpose? What was the reason why people listened? Since when do you listen to your rabbi? Since when do the people listen to the Pope? The Pope tells them to go and sell your property and get together and march to Yerushalayim 3,000 miles. It was suicidal.
They thought they were going to win.
It was suicidal. Anyone who had a brain in their head knew it was suicidal to do this. Hmm. You're not going to come back alive. You're not going to survive the trip. It wasn't like they have technology today. How are you going to get food? How are you going to get food? You can travel the desert. You can travel the desert. What are you, crazy? How are you going to get there? It was literally suicidal what they were doing. And yet they all fell for it. 60,000 people took up the call. Men, women. They didn't want the First Crusade. They didn't want women and children. Zakenim, old people and women and children. What is it? We want soldiers. We don't want women and children. What are the women and children coming along for? some reason.
In Europe, it was under,
so that's the question. What is this all about? What's going on? So this is the big, big debate. Big debate among the secular historians. What was the mindset? What was the thinking of the common man in their willingness to go on this crusade? And there is no, there are many, many answers. And
most of them were totally ignorant people.
Not necessarily. It doesn't seem that that's what the Olam says. The Olam says a lot of things. So after reading some of the books that Dr. Friedman gave me and some other books that I collected on my own, a lot of the things that we've been brought up with are myths. Are myths. When you study the facts, it's very different. And it's true. What you're saying is there were a lot of ignorant, barbaric people.
Only the nobles were educated. The common man was totally illiterate.
Although they were illiterate, they had a life. They had a certain.
They didn't know more than their own village.
Okay, but they weren't necessarily barbarians.
No books to read.
They weren't barbarians. They had a life. They had a derech in life. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. But everyone agrees. It seems that there were many. If after everything is said and done, there was a combination of many, many, many factors. The primary factor was it was a holy war, religion. Now, is everyone so religious? No, we know it's not true. So there's also an element of greed. They
greed.
Thought,
the
who knows?
The church was very corrupt.
Let's go on tangents. Let's discuss from the people. They didn't really care what the church had to say. The church said what it wanted to say, and they interpreted it as they wanted to. Okay, there was a very big separation between the church. The church just unleashed. An opportunity.
Do you think that people would be different today if you went out to the farm, you promised them you're going to have riches, you're going
to
have...
Today, we relate to this. It's impossible, impossible. It is 100, in my belief. In my understanding, maybe I'm wrong, today, in 2018, it is impossible to relate to the first crusade.
I read any article you read about Africa. They go out, get a whole bunch of people, and just slaughter.
For us here, who are heavily steeped in technology, in the news, reading news, reading.
I think you're giving too much credit to the humankind. I think that we can be persuaded very simply to go out and kill and slaughter and maim and hurt, and they're still doing it. Nothing has changed in the world. This to me is not unique.
I don't know.
To the first
the facts are the way it's presented. From what I've read is I've always believed exactly like you. I've always believed. Look, halacha biyadeinu, Esav Sinei Yaakov. We know that. Look at the Holocaust. Look what the Germans did. Look what they did. Look what they're capable of doing. Okay, look what there's no question. Theory, you are 100% right, and the Holocaust is the ultimate proof that you are correct. I agree. However, let's hear me out. Is that what happened during the First Crusade? Is that what happened? Or that's what we've been brainwashed to believe because we have the Holocaust. The Holocaust is the smoking gun. You're right. You are correct. I agree with you. This is what man is capable of doing. You don't need to convince me. The facts speak for themselves. Look at the Holocaust. And there have been pogroms throughout history. Question though, is that also what happened during the First Crusade? Well, we've been brainwashed since we've been in elementary school that yes, it's all the same. It's all the same. What's interesting, though, is go to the library, go online. Online, you're not going to find good stuff online. You have to read the books. Online is garbage. Online, you should know there's a lot of garbage online. You have to read the books. Read the people who researched. Is that what happened in the First Crusade? Not necessarily. Not that man is not capable of doing that. We know that's true. But study what happened. What happened was the crusade, there were many groups. The vast majority of the armies who succeeded in reaching Yerushalayim were the more sophisticated members of society. And they were not primarily interested, believe it or not, it's shocking, in killing the Jews. They were not interested. The people who went to Germany and wiped out 10,000 Jews in the most brutal, were primarily people who were are barbarians,
yeah.
were people who were who mamish the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low.
That's the difference between the Holocaust and the Crusades. In the Crusades, there was a bunch of barbarians who were totally uneducated, and so you know the church pushed them to go kill Jews.
That's another point. That's another disputed point. The church did not push them. According to the records, not that we know it's not, they didn't know. The church, it appears, did not necessarily push them. They did not push them. In fact, they did not.
They
did not want this. It got out of control. One of the major changes between the First Crusade and all the subsequent Crusades was the church and the subsequent Crusades had a very, very tight control over who is going where and your every move is under our jurisdiction.
Because they saw the disaster in the First Crusade.
Exactly. And they didn't want it. That's the Chiddush. It's a Chiddush. Why wouldn't they? Esav Soine Yaakov. Esav Soine Yaakov. Now listen, the church, don't get me wrong, the church said no tzaddikim. They are participants in the Holocaust. The church participated in the Holocaust. There was Shom Gemur, Mimach Shom Zichram. I have no compassion for them whatsoever. However, the church at that time needed the Jews desperately for one thing, for money. They needed their money. They were the brains behind society. They were the people who lend money. They were the capitalists. They're the ones who supported everyone. It was not in the interest of the church for the Jews to be obliterated. It was not in their interest, and they tried to stop it. It got out of control. Read the facts. Read the books. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying that goyim are bloodthirsty people. We know they are. You don't need to convince me. You don't need to convince anyone. The facts speak for themselves. We know what they're capable of. I'm just talking about an historical event. What happened? Mr. Palahniuk, I agree with you. But we have to know what exactly happened in order to learn the lessons and appreciate what's going on to understand how all this comes together. So what's the lesson? The lesson is we're vulnerable. The lesson is we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. And the lesson is, what about Hishtadlus? How much Hishtadlus should we do? So they did. They did a lot more Hishtadlus than we would think. Okay, when you study the records, we think that they just sat there and all of a sudden they were wiped out. When you learn about it, you assume that the Jews just that was, this was a major this is another one of the, another myth that at least in the books that I've read in the Crusades that we are under the impression I always thought this like an aliphase is that it was a major changing point in our recognition of our vulnerability. So in the books that I've read. From that point, until we were in Golas for 1,000 years, we thought, no, we're in Golas, whatever, and they are Goyim, you bribe them, Goyim are not going to kill us, we will do our Shtadlus. And when this happened, it changed everything. We look at a Goy as a every single Goy, we look at it as a bloodthirsty person who's out to kill us when we turn our back. And the Klal Yisrael changed their perspective, their recognition of our vulnerability. I always believe that to be, this was a watershed moment in Jewish history, for us. So in these books that I've read, it says that's a myth. It's no, totally not true. The same way we know our vulnerability today, they knew it then. And whatever we didn't know then, whatever lesson we should have learned from the Crusades that we did not, we did not. Nothing really changed. It's a myth. It's a myth to say that this was a watershed moment in our recognition. And there are other watershed elements in the Crusade that did change things. One thing I think this is a very nice point that this professor Chazan he makes. He says the real watershed moment of the Crusade was really not for us. By us, it didn't change anything. Not before, not after. The watershed moment of the Crusades was the Goyim first began to appreciate who we are. The Goyim never took us seriously. until 1,000 years in Gauls. The basics was destroyed. We went to Rome. From Rome, we went to Germany, to France, to Spain a little bit here and there. We were scattered about. The Goyim, when they were poor, they blamed the Jews for killing their God. Mm-hmm. We crucified, we killed their God, these Jews. But we're not going to kill the Jews because we need them for the redemption. There's a whole church philosophy, which they changed for their convenience. They'll change back and forth. So we're not going to kill them because we still need them. What they really were saying is, we need their money, okay? That's what they were saying. We need their money. But who are they really, these Jews? They're a bunch of nothing. They're just a bunch of nothing, these people. Who are they? They're nothing. And we'll tolerate them as long as it's good. The first crusade woke up the Goyish world to realize these people, they're for real. They really believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are indeed the Or HaAmim. It awakened more than what we think. We're brainwashed to think that the Crusades had an effect on us. We recognize our vulnerability. There's no proof to that. And Adarabba, the proof is Pumfakar. There's no difference before and after. The main change was a Goy now began to first appreciate what a Jew is. And with that, it's a double-edged sword. Mitzad Echad, some Goyim were impressed. And they saw spirituality. They also want something for themselves. And other Goyim, it had very negative. It brought out the worst of Esav Soine Yaakov, planted seeds of incredible hatred, which will ultimately lead to expulsions, will lead to Inquisition, will lead to the Holocaust. The watershed moment of the First Crusade was the Goyim began to appreciate who is this Am HaNivchar in the modern world post the Churban. That's the facts. Okay, a lot of other things that you hear about in the footnotes of some of these very lightweight books are myths. They're just shooting from the hip. They're repeating Baba Mises that they've been told for generations. And a lot of these things are not accurate. A lot of these things, you're the big saver, Reb Meir. And a lot of these things are, I mean, it's just very, there's a lot to be said. Okay? I'm totally fascinated with this because I'm reading these parakim over here. And to me, the lessons are just leaping off the page. And the first thing we said yesterday, we spent too much time on this, the first thing that I told yesterday is that the two things that are amazing to me is who is the author of Yoel? Shmuel. The son of Shmuel. The son of those who were not here yesterday, who is the author of Yoel? It is Yoel ben Pisuel. What does Shmuel have to do with the first crusade? Shmuel was the king, was the Navi who was Mamlech, the first Melech. And when Klal Yisrael said to him, Shmuel, we want a Melech. Shmuel was hurt. It was a terrible, terrible chait on the part of Klal Yisrael. And his words were, Hashem Elokeichem Malkichem. What do you need a king for? The Ribbono Shel Olam is your melech. How dare you? How dare you? And he went into a tirade. Read the Psukim in Shmuel, a tirade. Hashem Elokeichem Malkichem. In Jewish history, which dar was a generation that expressed as a generation, as its tzibur, Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem. Indeed, it is the Ribbono Shel Olam who is our king. It's the first crusade. The generation of the first crusade. They're the ones who in Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and they gave up their life in the most magnificent way we've ever seen in Jewish history. And that explains why in the beginning of Perek Aleph, he starts by telling Shimu Zois HaZikenim V'Azinu Kol Yoshev Aretz HaHoysa Zois B'Meichem V'im B'Mei Avayisech. Was there ever such an event like this in Jewish history? And don't ever forget about it. Alecha Livneichem Saperu, like Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim, tell over every little detail what happened. Not just to you, Uvneichem Livneichem, your children to their children, Uvneichem Lidor Acher, and their children to the next generation. Why is it on Tisha B'Av we have four kinos for the first crusade, and there's no kinos for anything else other than the Beis HaMikdash? It's a gezeiros hakasov. It's what it says here on the pasuk. It says, don't you dare forget. There was never something like this where Klal Yisrael declared, Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem. They took up the call, the musar of Shmuel HaNavi. That's right. Hashem Elokeichem is Malkechem. And you shall relate this to every generation, Lador Vador. It's a mitzvah to relate this. It fits like a glove. It's unbelievable. And especially on Tisha B'Av, what is Tisha B'Av all about? We want Mashiach to come. The Melech HaMashiach. Before you can be mispalel and be mevakesh for the Leidas HaMashiach, the Melech HaMashiach, you have to know the MS that Hashem Elokeichem is Malkechem. It's a prerequisite for Yimos HaMashiach. All right, we repeated something we learned yesterday, but I feel it was Kedai because...